Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Mormon Channel Daily. I'm Charlotte Kniep. And did you know that over 16 million adults suffered a bout of depression in the last year alone? And this is a huge, huge issue that either affects you or someone you love. Depression is such a dark and a horrible disease, but there is light and hope available to those of you who may suffer from it. And take it from someone who knows. LDS writer Seth Adam Smith suffered with depression for many years, and when he was 20 years old, the condition came to a head and he decided that he needed to take his own life. And luckily, that plan was foiled, and he's here with us today to talk about how the restored gospel of Jesus Christ can help if depression affects you or your family. Thanks for being here, Seth.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
What do you think are some incorrect things that the world or society teaches us about the disease? Because there's a lot of shame around it, and I don't think we talk about it nearly as often as we need to. So what are some preconceived notions that are out there about depression that you'd like to correct?
I would say one of the biggest misconceptions about depression is that few people struggle with it.
Mm-hmm.
When I tried to take my life, my neighborhood found out because they saw the ambulance, and my ward, you know, they found out pretty quickly after that, that I had tried to take my life. And the surprising thing to me, the most surprising thing was that, all of these people would come out of the woodwork just in really quiet, really subtle. They would approach me and they would say, "Hey, don't say anything to anybody about this, but I struggle with that too."
Mm.
Or, "I've been thinking about suicide too." And these are people that you know, hold callings in the church that when you look at them, you think, oh, they don't have any struggles at all.
Right.
I mean, former bishops and things, and some of them said that their greatest struggles were while they were fulfilling their callings. You know, and I think one of the biggest falsehoods we get into our head is that I'm the only one who's struggling with this right now, and nobody will understand what I'm going through. When the reality is that a lot of people have struggled with it or are currently struggling with it. And if you find a trusted friend, you know, or a family member, and you open up, you know, you will be surprised by the reception that you get. I wouldn't doubt that because chances are they've dealt with it in some way, whether it's themselves or someone they know.
I think being vulnerable like that, and I don't think you did it to be vulnerable to your neighborhood and your ward, but it turned out to be a very vulnerable situation for you. And that kind of brings people out of the woodwork, like you said, and it makes people feel like they can kind of let their guard down and share these personal thoughts. But it's sad that it takes something so tragic to do that. And as someone who's suffered from depression, what do you want people to understand about how it feels and what someone who suffers goes through?
What I would like people to understand is that it's not this general feeling of discouragement or sadness. So when we talk about depression, there's a problem because the word often gets confused with another word. So it's the same word, but it means two different things. So there's chronic depression, which is an actual disease that that affects the mind in such a way that it's really difficult for you to see or sense hope in your life. And then there's depression, which, you know, when people use a general term of depression, "I'm feeling depressed, I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling low." So we get this this idea that depression, the word is interchangeable, it means the same thing. But when there's a chronic depression or chronic illness, a chronic version of depression, there's much more involved. And I would wish and I would hope that people would be more sensitive about finding out exactly what kind of struggle somebody is going through. And if somebody's dealing with a more aggressive form of depression or a chronic form of depression, my hope would be that they would understand that form of depression is much more than discouragement. It's this emptiness and this feeling of hopelessness, that nothing will get better, nothing ever can get better, that the feeling you're feeling is inescapable.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's absolutely no hope. And that's why people who deal with chronic depression will often have suicidal thoughts because that to them is the only escape.
And that type of depression, oftentimes, we've talked a lot about depression on our show, actually. I've talked to a lot of doctors and things and therapists. That type of depression, oftentimes, is at a chemical level in your brain that you really do need to access medical attention, therapy, medicine, whatever it may be, to address. But I love this perspective that you've taken, that the gospel has helped you overcome a lot of the struggles that you've had with depression. I'm sure not in place of medical attention and help, but how has the gospel helped you with these different mental struggles you've had?
Right. So there's two things I would share in reference to the gospel. There's a story in the New Testament of Christ raising Lazarus from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
That is a beautiful story, and it is a perfect example of how the Savior performs miracles. Because if you read that story carefully, you'll notice that the Savior, I mean, we all know that the Savior knows everything, that he's all knowing, he's all wise, he's all powerful. He can do whatever he wants to do, but he typically waits for people to ask. And if you read that story carefully, you'll notice that it says that he was in the same area as Mary. And she later comes to him and she says, "If thou hast been here, if thou hast been here, you know, my brother would not have died." And the Savior tells Mary, he says, "Well, take me to him." Now, the Savior knows how to get there. I'm sure he's been there before, but he invites Mary to take him there. And when they finally get there, he says, "Remove the stone." And, you know, we've seen Christ perform a lot of miracles. He can move the stone himself.
Mm-hmm.
But he asks them to remove the stone. And then he performs this miracle that they cannot perform, which is he raises Lazarus from the dead. And even after that, he says, "Now you take the linens off of his head, loose him, mm-hmm. and let him go." He could have done that himself. And what I take from that story is that the Savior will ask us to do everything that is in our power to invite a miracle, right? And then he will do what we cannot do. So if you're struggling with depression, if you're struggling with anything, be that medical or otherwise, the Savior is going to ask you and invite you to do everything you can on your own to facilitate that miracle. And then he will do what you cannot do. You know, if the medication and seeing the doctors, seeing the therapist, if that hasn't quite provided the miracle you were looking for, then Christ will take over. But he, of course, is going to encourage you to go and do all of the things within your power. If you have a broken leg, he's not going to get that fixed for you if you have access to a hospital. You can
right.
drive and go and get
mm-hmm.
things done. The other story that I would share in reference to depression that and to me has the most profound application to depression is the opening story of the restoration, Joseph Smith's first vision. That to me is probably the most powerful story when applied to the struggle of depression.
Mm.
Joseph Smith is struggling to know what to do. He's struggling with his own sense of right and wrong, where he wants to go, and how to best exercise his faith. He goes into the woods, he goes into the wilderness and to pray to God. He's doing everything right. And he's overcome by this incredible darkness. And the way that Joseph Smith describes that, and I would invite you to read that, to read the first vision again in this context, the way that Joseph Smith describes the darkness is, to me, so similar to depression. He describes it almost like he's drowning.
Mm-hmm.
He says that this thick darkness overcame him, and it seemed to him as for a time that he was doomed to a sudden destruction, right? I mean, that's the suffocating feeling of being overcome by darkness, and being stuck in this wilderness and not knowing how to get out, not knowing how to break free of that. But he exerts all of his power, all of his strength, to do the only thing he knows how to do at this point, and that's to call out to God to help him. Right? He's done everything he can beforehand, and then he gets into this situation, and then he does the only thing he knows how to do to get out. And what happens is the beginning of the restoration. It's a pillar of light. And when that pillar of light comes down, the darkness is dispelled. God and Christ come down, and the first thing that happens is God addresses Joseph Smith by name. And that, to me, is significant because it tells me that God is aware of you, of each of us, and that he is here to help us, and that that light, that pillar of light, is available to us, that when we do everything, when we exercise all of our power to call upon that being, that the one who created us, that he will come down, that he will help us when we need it.
I think both, those are incredible scriptural examples, and I think they both show the power of faith. And I love that phrase in the scriptures that says, after all you can do, you know, after you've moved the stone or sought help or prayed even is a huge act of faith. That's when the Lord steps in and helps you because he wants us, I think he wants to teach us how powerful we really are on our own, but then how much more powerful we can be with him by our side, helping us and leading us and guiding us. But how do you think the gospel can apply to and help family members and friends who are taking care of someone who struggles with a mental illness?
Well, I would refer you, any listener of this, to the video that the church produced on suicide prevention, the one that my brother and I were in, sitting on the bench, mm-hmm. Thoughts on suicide prevention. I mean, really, the gospel and the constant invitation of the gospel is to reach beyond ourselves, to comfort those who mourn, you know, and to be a light to the world, to be a light to other people. And I think it's an interesting paradox that even though there are times that we feel like, you know, we're dark inside, that there's a, you know, that we're devoid of light, I think the paradox is when we reach out to other people and try to help them, there's a light that comes to us. Mm-hmm. We are given a gift of the Spirit that lights our own way. And so the gospel is this constant invitation by the Savior to reach out, to reach beyond ourselves and become more, even in the midst of our struggles. I mean, you read these stories of all the missionaries in the scriptures, like Paul and Ammon and his brothers. They were not spared from feelings of depression and struggles, but something about their missions, something about what they were doing to help other people brought a light to them. And especially in the case of Ammon and the Lamanites noticed. They noticed that light, And their lives were changed.
And I think when you reach out, you kind of open yourself up to just letting people know that you're there. And I think letting God know that you're there and willing to do whatever he asks, but that you need his help as well. And caretakers of those with mental illness and chronic mental illness especially need the Lord's help. And there are resources, of course, to help them with that. But we want to thank you so much for being here and sharing your thoughts and your wisdom on this topic with us. And if you would like to find out more about LDS Church resources available to you if mental illness is a part of your life or a loved one's, you can visit mentalhealth.lds.org. And for hope and support surrounding this condition, you can visit mormonchannel.org for blog posts, podcasts, and videos. And especially be sure to check out the Mormon message that Seth referenced, Sitting on the Bench, and also a more recent Mormon message called Like a Broken Vessel, which features the wise words of LDS Apostle Elder Jeffrey R. Holland. And we're going to close today actually with a quote from Elder Holland, and this is his advice to those of you who struggle with depression and other forms of mental illness. And he says, "We do the best we can and we manage the situation, but when we've done all we can do, we endure, hang in there, and count on light at the end of the tunnel." Thank you so much for tuning in today. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.